Book of Exodus, chapter 30. We're going to finish up this chapter. We left off in verse 22 or 21. We got as far as that on Wednesday night, and I thought I would just take this whole chunk remaining and just go through it and finish it off. It's an important word, though. If you are wrestling with something today, if you're not sure where the Lord's leading you and you don't know where the Lord's taking you, this is a good study for us. And so beginning with verse 22 of Exodus chapter 30, I'll just read on through the chapter and then we're going to work our way through it. Verse 22, "Moreover, the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Take thou also unto thee principal spices of pure myrrh, 500 shekels, and of sweet cinnamon, half so much, even 250 shekels, of sweet calamus, 250 shekels, and of cassia, 500 shekels, after the shekel of the sanctuary, and of oil, olive, a hin, and thou shalt make it an oil of holy ointment, an ointment compound after the art of apothecary. It shall be a holy anointing oil, and thou shalt anoint the tabernacle of the congregation therewith, and the ark of the testimony, and the table, and all his vessels, and the candlestick, and his vessels, and the altar of incense, and the altar of burnt offering with all his vessels, and the laver and his foot. And thou shalt sanctify them, that they may be most holy. Whatsoever toucheth them shall be holy. And thou shalt anoint Aaron and his sons, and consecrate them, that they may minister unto me in the priest's office. And thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel, saying, This shall be an holy anointing oil unto me throughout your generations. Upon man's flesh shall it not be poured, neither shall you make any other like it after the composition of it. It is holy, and it shall be holy unto you. Whosoever compoundeth any like it, or whosoever putteth any of it upon a stranger, shall even be cut off from his people. And the Lord said unto Moses, Take unto thee sweet spices, stacte, and onycha, and galbanum. These sweet spices with pure frankincense of each shall there be a like weight. And thou shalt make it perfume, a confection, after the art of the apothecary, tempered together, pure and holy. And thou shalt beat some of it very small, and put of it before the testimony in the tabernacle of the congregation, where I will meet with thee. It shall be unto you most holy. And as for the perfume which thou shalt make, you shall not make to yourselves according to the composition thereof. It shall be unto you, to thee, holy for the Lord. Whosoever shall make like unto that, to smell thereto, shall be even cut off from his people." Father, we just pray today that as we study the word, that you would come and minister to us. May your spirit, Father, flow through the word and instruct our hearts today. We need you to teach us, and we need you to show us. So reveal yourself to us, Lord, in this. And, Father, cause us to be different and changed by the impact the word has on us today. We pray that, Father. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I suppose all Christians would agree that what the world needs most of all is Jesus Christ. I suppose all of us as Christians would have no problem with that being the priority. The main thing that people need in their lives, obviously, would be Jesus, his holiness, his righteousness. And we ought to be, and everybody ought to be, worshiping him alone. And so often, as believers, we can become weighted down, and we can feel responsible. And we can feel sometimes discouraged because the task of seeing that become a reality, others that we know, people that we're engaged with, people that are loved ones to us, we get concerned and we feel responsible somehow. and discouraged because the task of converting souls to Jesus seems so overwhelming sometimes. It seems huge. It seems so far out of reach. Now, if it was up to you and up to me to make sure that everybody gets saved, well, then you might have a reason to be in despair. If it was up to you and me to make sure that the whole world gets saved, we could be in real trouble, couldn't we? And feeling despairing and feeling discouraged constantly. But do we really think that God, in all his wisdom, would leave something as important as people's souls up to you and me? I hardly think so. The Lord, you see, is wise, and he knows all things. And so he's not about to say, hey, you guys, if it's not for you, everybody else that's supposed to get saved is not going to make it. Well, we would freak out. And some of us do, I think. And it's because we forget this truth, that it's not your responsibility. You can't save anybody. You can't. You can do a lot of things. You can pray, you can share, you can live your life for the Lord yourself, but you can't save one soul. You couldn't even save yours. So it's not the responsibility of us, you see. And here in our text, we see that the Lord instructs Moses here to do something that is all important in this area, and that is to make sweet-smelling oil. Make sweet oil to anoint the tabernacle and Aaron and his sons. Now, as you know, oil in the scriptures is a representation of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is to be poured out upon this tabernacle and on Aaron and his sons. All of the furniture that's in the tabernacle, and we've looked at this kind of extensively, but you remember the table of showbread, where the bread was laid out, which pictures the word of God being prepared and shared. The golden lampstand, where the light, you see, would be shining as the light of the world, all the good things that would come from that. And the altar of incense, where prayers are pictured there. And the laver, where the feet were washed and the hands were washed, picturing that cleansing that comes when we go to the Lord, you see, after coming into contact with the world. And the brazen altar itself, where the sacrifice was given. All of these things in the tabernacle here, we see, were to be sprinkled with this sweet oil. Now, the furniture in the tabernacle speaks of service. Serving, what we do in this life for the Lord, all those things, whether it's sharing the word at the table of showbread or praying for somebody at the altar of incense or being the light of the world as one of the lampstands, you see, just doing and sharing your life as light, whatever it might be, it's serving. And whatever, you see, was in that tabernacle was sprinkled with this holy oil. And the priests, the servants, which is who we represent here. We are the priests today. The priests were also anointed with this holy oil. Now, everything, of course, in the tabernacle is a picture of Jesus. And this particular issue, of course, is no different. It's a type of Christ. And we see that this tabernacle, this whole thing was sprinkled with oil, with this sweet oil. Now, in Luke chapter 4, verse 18 and 19, you can jot that down or turn there, but Jesus stands up in the synagogue that day, and he quotes Isaiah chapter 61, speaking of himself. Now again, the tabernacle here, Moses is instructed to make oil, and what? Pour it out. All over the place, on everything in the tabernacle, get oil on it. All over it. And here in Isaiah 61, or in Luke 4, where Jesus quotes Isaiah, Jesus stood up and said this, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn." Jesus stood up that day and said, "I am the one who's anointed." The tabernacle with the anointing oil being placed all over it, of course, is just a foreshadowing of what took place when Jesus Christ came into this world. He was anointed. But here's the great part, you see. What does Jesus say? He says he was anointed. He was sent to preach and to proclaim. He's the one that was the anointed one. You see, it's his responsibility. It's him that will proclaim. It is him that has this anointing. But here's the thing. We understand that all the things in the tabernacle were sprinkled with this oil, which means, of course, everything that has to do with serving God has to be done with this anointing. It has to be done with the oil. That's why the whole thing was coated, basically, with this sweet oil. And you say, well, we know that. Good. That's great. But here's the thing. Not only is our serving God, because I know what some of you are thinking. Yeah, but that's for you guys. You guys that, you know, serve the Lord and you hang out here and wander around during the week, like you said. That's for you guys to do and be a part of. You know, you get the anointing. You do it, you know. You get oil all over you. You know, that's what a lot of people think. They think that this anointing, the Holy Spirit's empowering, is simply for those who are ministering. And that's true. It is. The anointing is to share the word or anything else we do in service. Obviously, that's why it's all over everything that's done. But not only that, because you see, we see that in John, in his epistle, in 1 John, we find out that this anointing's for you and me to understand and to learn and to grow. You are anointed. You're anointed. You guys. Anointed for what? Well, in 1 John 2:20, John says this. He says, "But we have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things." John says, "We have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things." Now, we don't use that word unction very often, but it means the same thing exactly as anointed. You have an anointing, an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. In other words, the unction or the anointing of the Holy Spirit for you is so that you can know and learn and understand. You see, verse 27 of 1 John chapter 2 goes on to say, "But the anointing which you have received of him abideth in you, and you need not that any man teach you. But as the same anointing teacheth you all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, you shall abide in him." You and I are anointed with this oil, the Holy Spirit. He anoints us so that we can hear the word. And so when we hear the word, and when we study the word, we can understand it. We can get it. If you did not have the anointing of the Holy Spirit, you wouldn't understand a thing. And that's one of the main reasons you're anointed with it. You see, And when you talk to unbelievers, or when unbelievers are here, and maybe some of you are, some of the unbelievers that will step in here or be in conversations with you will look at you with blank stares. And when you talk about Jesus and you talk about the Lord, they're going to be going, I don't have a clue what this guy's talking about. Oil all over the furniture. What in the world? What is this guy talking about? And they don't get it. They won't get it. They can't get it. Why? No anointing. No oil. No Holy Spirit, you see. Was that the only reason? Are those the only reasons for serving God and then for hearing the word? What other reasons might there be for this anointing of the Spirit? Well, back in our text in verse 30 of chapter 30, it says there, Thou shalt anoint Aaron and his sons, and consecrate them, that they may minister unto me in the priest's office. The priests, Aaron and his sons, were anointed with this oil so that they would minister unto the Lord. But here's where the problem comes in. And again, this is where many will step back and say, well, that's not for me. That's for somebody else. That's for a professional minister. Because man, I know what you're saying. We're all a royal priesthood, but I don't really feel like a priest. But here's the thing. Many people will bow out, back off at this particular point because they feel like, well, if you're going to serve the Lord, you've got to be holy, right? You got to be a holy person. And this is a problem for people because it's true, isn't it? God says, be holy. Because I'm holy. And we say, I'm not holy, Lord. But here's the good news. And here's the part you need to see. Verse 29, right above verse 30, strangely enough, says, And thou shalt sanctify them, all these things in the tabernacle, that they be most holy. And listen, whatsoever toucheth them shall be holy. Huh. Now this is going to take some excuses away from some of us. Because not being holy can be a radical excuse not to serve God. I'm not holy enough. Gets me out of that. That pulls me off the shelf. I'm not holy enough. Yeah, somebody else is going to have to do that. Not me, because I'm not holy. Here's the thing. The Lord says, all these things in the tabernacle, the table, the candlestick, the altar of incense, the laver, all these things are sprinkled with this holy oil, and anyone who touches those holy things will be holy. And many people just won't touch them. Won't touch those things. Don't want to touch them. Don't want to serve. Don't want to do anything, really. I don't want to touch any of those things that cause me to serve God. And here's the thing, guys. Anything that touches those things, anyone who touches those things are holy. Why? Because the oil's all over it. Those things are holy because the oil's on them. And those that touch those things will get the oil all over them, the Holy Spirit's anointing. And see, the wonderful thing about serving God in the way that he asks us to serve him is that if I'm simply touching the things he wants me to touch, if he says, I just want you to be involved with this, or I just want you to pray for that, or I just want you to talk to them, I just want you to share the word at that Bible study, I just want you to do this, whatever it might be, if you will simply touch what he wants you to touch, the anointing is there. If you touch it, you will be holy, anointed for that purpose and particular thing that he has you touching. Simple as that. You see, it's not that I'm holy. It's that he's holy. And if he tells me, touch this, because if you touch it, you'll be holy. You'll get an anointing oil all over you, you see. Then, hey, all I have to do then is say, okay. I don't need to argue with the Lord about me being unholy. Don't you think he knows that? I mean, do you really think that you're cluing God in when you say, hey, Lord, I'm not holy? Really? Boy, and here all this time, you know, I thought you were, you know. Of course he knows. He knows our frame. He knows what we're made of, and yet he will allow us to touch holy things because he knows in touching those holy things, we become holy. Because it's not us, it's him, you see. Verse 32, it says, upon man's flesh shall it not be poured. This is the beauty, you see. It's not you, it's not me. Upon the flesh of a man it shall not be poured. In other words, it's not yours. It's not your holiness. It's not your anointing. It's his. That's why Jesus said, he's anointed me. There in Isaiah. He's anointed me. I'm the anointed one, Jesus said. You needn't just touch me. What was touched in there? The tabernacle. Everything in it. Touch the tabernacle. Touch the tabernacle and you'll be holy. Jesus said, I'm the anointed one. I'm the one sent to proclaim the good news. I'm the one that came into this world, you see, anointed to do this task. And what do? We got to touch the tabernacle and get oil on us. That's all. But it's not to be poured out upon a man's flesh. Do you know this? The Holy Spirit doesn't work in the same way you do and I do. Boy, if the Lord did things my way, wow, what a mess things would be. Have you ever tried to do something and get the Lord to go that direction, only to find out shortly thereafter that you're so glad that he didn't, because what happened as a result was tragic or terribly, terribly misled by you? And you're so happy God didn't say, okay, let's go your way. If that was the case, by the way, we wouldn't have this facility or this property. We would have tried to make the first piece of property we bought or tried to buy work. We tried, and I was kind of disappointed. But you know what? The reality is back then, if we would have bought that piece of property, it would have made a nice parking lot. But there had been no room for a building or anything else. And I thought, oh man, bummer, you know. We didn't get that. Well, the Lord knew better. And of course, he didn't let us do something like that. And I'm glad. And so often in the flesh, we try to do something. We try and do something that we think is important. And the Holy Spirit doesn't work the same way that we work. And why aren't we to do those things in the flesh, even though we might think and it might look like they're good things to do? They could be a good work. It could be a good thing. But why aren't we to do it and try and make it happen, even if it's good? Because if it's done apart from the Holy Spirit empowering it, it's not going to glorify Jesus Christ. Now, you may know that. Theologically, doctrinally, you may understand that that's true, but listen, it doesn't change us from doing it oftentimes. We do it anyway. We try to do things in and of ourselves, and we realize, why didn't that work? Well, maybe because the Spirit wasn't leading you in it. And if he wasn't, listen, it's because whatever that is, even though it might be a good thing, won't bring glory to Jesus, and the Holy Spirit will only do those things which glorify Jesus Christ. Well, how do you know that? Well, John 16. Let me read it to you. John 16, beginning with verse 13, Jesus says, speaking of when the Holy Spirit comes, he says, howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and he shall show it unto you. If you want to try and do something, and it's not going to bring glory to Jesus, listen, the Holy Spirit won't help you. He will not help you. He will not pursue it with you. And this is something that's confounding to people, Christians, believers. You know, I wanted to do that thing. I wanted that person to get saved. I wanted this to happen. I wanted this other to take place. I was planning on buying that piece of property. I was going to go there and get that job. And yet, it didn't work out. How come? Well, if it wasn't his timing, wasn't his purpose, wasn't his plan, he's not going to go there. He's not going to do that. He's not going to go with you. He's not going to work in that, you see. And whatever it is, guys, whether we're involved with teaching the word or praying for somebody or worshiping or helping somebody practically or encouraging them in their walk, whatever it might be, you see, the only time the Holy Spirit is in that is if Jesus is going to be glorified in it. Well, isn't he glorified in every good work? Mm-mm. How do you know? Well, Jesus is going to say to some the day of judgment when they say, Lord, Lord, didn't we do all these amazing things? We cast out demons. We ministered in your name. Didn't we? And what's Jesus going to say to them? Depart from me, you doers of iniquity. For I never knew you. What? They did good things, though, they thought. But the anointing was not there. The Holy Spirit was not leading them. They didn't even know Jesus. Can people minister in the name of Jesus and not know him? Apparently so. And here's the thing, you see. If our motive for serving or doing anything, guys, whatever it is any other reason than Jesus receiving glory, the Spirit won't help. He won't be there. He won't. Because his purpose being here is to glorify Jesus. So anytime there's any service going on, anything happening where the Holy Spirit's involved, guess who's going to be glorified? Jesus. Every time, every time. If the Holy Spirit's at work, Jesus is magnified. Every single time. That's why I believe the Lord says there also in verse 32 at the end. He says, not only are you not to pour this out upon a man's flesh, but neither shall you make any other like it after the composition of it, because it is holy and it shall be holy unto you. Don't try to copy this oil. God says to Moses, don't let anybody try and copy it. There's to be no copying the Holy Spirit. No manipulating the Holy Spirit. Not trying to do something that looks like the Holy Spirit. Not trying to cause there to be a stirring in people that make them think that the Holy Spirit's doing something. You're not to imitate this. Don't try to make this oil yourself, is what's being said. Now, I know some might not like what I'm going to say here, but I believe it's a problem, and it's growing in the body of Christ, so to speak. Because there are ministries, there are things being done under the heading of Christianity. There are organizations, there are groups, there are people, and guys, they have a lot of charisma, personality, charm, whatever, and oftentimes people are convinced that the Lord is doing something because this person or that group or whatever has caused there to be a manipulation. And their focus is changing in many, many churches. The worship service, you see, can be so different than perhaps the Lord intends it to be. And I'm not just talking flavor of worship. There's a great deal of things going on in churches that have nothing to do with the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Nothing. And here's the thing. The worship service, we're told here in verse 37, right down at the end of the story here, that it shall be this service, this perfume, this incense, this oil, the whole bit, everything shall be to thee for us, holy, for the Lord. It's all for him. Now, this is the mistake people make so often. Worship, serving, whatever we're involved with, it's got to be for him alone. Now, this is hard for some to take in, because many church organizations or Christian groups or whatever you want to call it, many churches will spend countless hours trying, you see, to figure out how to get people to come to church. And here's the reality. They will take, oftentimes, and it's become more and more prevalent, and I'm sorry for it, but they will take so many different ideas from the world and incorporate them into the church to draw the world in. Their attempts, you see, to appeal to the world by making their worship service perhaps more worldly, to appeal to the senses, to make people stirred. But being stirred doesn't mean the anointing of the Holy Spirit is there. And you've got to see this, you've got to understand it. This oil, this anointing, was for God and him alone. This worship time, everything in the tabernacle, the incense being burnt, and everything going on with the elements here was for him. And you see, we're not to appeal to the world. We're not to try and make the world comfortable. We're to make God glorified in our hearts and in our lives. That's the purpose of worship. It's not to say, hey, come on in, watch this. You know, we can do just like the world does. Well, that's great. That's not the purpose. And without the anointing of the Holy Spirit, guys, it doesn't matter what takes place. It doesn't matter how cool it is or how many people are involved in it. If it's not glorifying to Jesus, it's not of the Spirit. When people pull out of churches, perhaps pull out of here after this teaching, when people pull out of churches and they say, well, you know, they aren't doing it the way I like it. Who said it was supposed to be the way you like it? In other words, here's the reality. Now, don't get me wrong. There's different flavors of churches, and if you find a flavor of church that you enjoy, great. But here's the reality. Don't go to a church because they're doing it your way. Go because Jesus is glorified. You see, don't go or leave because of something that you're saying in your heart. Hey, I am not being listened to. I told that guy. I didn't like him wearing shorts, and he didn't listen. I told him, you see, I didn't like the music, and he didn't listen. He still plays. Whatever it is, it's not about you. It's not about me saying, oh, we like it this way or we want it the other way. It's not about that. It's about whether God is being glorified. It's for him, you see. It's about Jesus and bringing him glory. And what's the church to be doing? Worshiping him in spirit and in truth, you see. And do what glorifies him. Worship in spirit and in truth. What does that mean? Well, the spirit, the anointing, worship in that spirit. Touch the things that Jesus says to touch. But what are you going to touch if you don't know what he wants you to touch? Well, how do I know what he wants me to touch? Ah, you worship in spirit and in what? Truth. Where do you get the truth from? The Word. The Word, Jesus, who is the Word of God, that's his name, said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the truth. He also said, the words that I speak are spirit and life. Now, here's the problem I see. And I'll get off my soapbox here in a second, but I've got to drive this home because this is very important, I believe. It is impossible, I believe, to experience the blessings, the anointing of the Holy Spirit. It is impossible to enjoy those blessings and experience that reality when you ignore the Word. You cannot experience the blessing of the Holy Spirit, the anointing of the Spirit, when the Word is not being shared and taught. You cannot go into a place where, you know, they perhaps quote a couple of scriptures and then the rest of the time is spent doing something else. The Word is the truth. And if we're going to worship in spirit and in truth, we better get the Word out. Because that's part of the worship. We need to hear what we're supposed to touch. We need to hear where we're supposed to go. Where we're going to find the anointing for our lives, you see. It's impossible for us if we ignore the Word. And anybody who tries really to do things apart from the Word, which glorifies Jesus Christ because he tells you what to touch, anybody who does that, I believe, is using the Holy Spirit to glorify themselves rather than the Holy Spirit using them to glorify Jesus Christ. It's all about him. It's all about what he wants, where he's leading us, where he's taking us. Now, for me, this is very liberating. I love this truth because, you see, this means me, myself, in my own feeble ways, in my own inabilities, I am not responsible for ministry. Wow. And I've shared this before, but if I thought for 1 minute that I had to prepare something every week, you know, every Wednesday, every Sunday, that's going to, you know, make you guys go, ooh, you know, I would sit and veg in my office or at home going, oh man, I'm dead. Why? Because I don't have anything to say. I don't know what to tell you. What am I going to tell you? I don't have anything to say. He's got something to say. And I'm free because I'm feeble. I'm not able to do things the way they need to be done. But I'm not responsible for ministry taking place here. He is. He's the anointed one. I just got to touch him. I just need to touch some of those and whatever service he tells me to touch. Hey, touch the altar of incense and pray. Okay, it's anointed. Touch the table of showbread and teach the word. Okay, it's anointed. Tell me what to touch, Lord, because it's anointed, whatever it is. See, if I want to be a part of a ministry that Jesus is glorified in, all I have to do is receive the anointing of his Spirit. And if my motivation is for other things to take place, then I'll have to do it without the help of the Holy Spirit. I'll just do it on my own, you see, if that's the case. I'll have to do it without him. And one way, one type of ministry, I have to be creative. I have to be charismatic and strategic. I have to be strong. Huh. The other way, I can be me. Weak, feeble, no plans, no strategy, no polish, just me. And I can just be me, you see. And I don't have to be something that I'm not, which is good. I'm not good at it, you see. I'm not a polished guy. I don't plan anything. As you know, because I forget to announce half the announcements that we... I don't plan things. I don't strategize. How are we going to get people to come to church? You know? I don't know. Who knows? We're just going to teach the word and worship Jesus. Want to come? Great. Don't? Okay. It's all right. Because here's the thing. When we, you see, take this seriously, we get it and we understand it. We realize, oh, Lord, it's got to be this way, doesn't it? Because I don't have any ability to do anything. Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. And I know that's true. Without him, I can do nothing. Remember the story of Samson? Remember Samson? Strong, you know, took on 1,000 Philistines, you know, with that jawbone of a donkey. Now, he had some weaknesses, as you recall. But if you read Samson's story, you start to get the impression that this guy wasn't really into doing things for the Lord. He was kind of into himself. You know, had the long Fabio hair going, you know. He had this real stigma, you know, hey, he's big and he's bad, you know, I'm Samson. And you find that the guy never prayed except for one time that's recorded before he lost his hair. And his prayer was a gripe. It was a complaint because he didn't have any water. And remember, he had a weakness for women. And this woman, Delilah, wanted to find out the source of his strength, you know, and he told her a bunch of fibs. And she got mad. And so he finally tells her the truth. And, of course, the strength was in his hair. And so she gave him a haircut. And, of course, when he woke up and the Philistines were there in his room, remember? He thought he was strong. He jumped up just like he normally would, ready to take him on. Yeah, he did not, though. It says he wist not that the Spirit had departed from him. He thought he was strong, and yet he was weak. Now, contrast that with David. David, the shepherd boy, who was a little runt of a guy. And this other Philistine, Goliath, this giant, was taking on all of Israel, remember, challenging him. And David shows up and said, what's the deal? And they said, well, look at him. He's 9'6" or something. Who wants to fight him? And David said, well, I'll fight him. And they all thought he was crazy. Well, what did David say? David said, he's nothing for the Lord to take on. David knew, you see, he was a wimp. But he knew the Lord wasn't. And he, in his weakness, was made strong. And the Spirit came upon him, man, and he was just mighty. Took on this giant, just like that. Samson, on the other hand, thought he was strong, and he found out he was a wimp. So, which one do you want to be? And oftentimes, there are those, again, who have this same philosophy in ministry. Oh, I'm gifted, I'm talented, I'm good at this, you know, watch, you know. And they wist not that the Spirit's departed. Because in their own strength, they're the only one that gets glory. In your weakness, God gets the glory. He gets it, you see. So what are we here for? How about you and me? What are we here for? Are we here to worship? Are we here to bow down? Are we here to see Jesus high and lifted up in worship? Or are we here to be entertained? To be part of something cool? To feel better about ourselves? You know, lots of reasons to be here. Maybe you're trying to prove a point to somebody. See, I can go sit through that. Took long enough. Well, whatever. Whatever reason, there's lots of reasons to be here, but what is it for you? What is it for me? Because we have the anointing of God to serve him and touch the things he wants us to touch. And everything that he would make you touch or have you touch or offer you to touch is anointed. Do you know that? So when you hear in the word, when you hear him calling, when you hear him say, come touch this, come touch that, you know it, you know it. It's anointed for you. The oil's on it. And that's when Jesus gets the glory. Because we have, you see, his anointing. If anything else takes place, it's not the working of the Holy Spirit. Again, doesn't matter how amazing you might think it is. It's not him. Well, how can you tell then? I mean, you see people following after that group or being involved with this. How can you tell whether it's the Holy Spirit or something they're doing in manipulating and causing this to happen? How can you tell? The smell. This was a sweet aroma. The fragrance was so sweet. And God said, don't try and imitate it. And the implication here is you're not going to be able to, really, because there's a telltale sign that follows the Holy Spirit's moving every single time. You see, the smell was sweet. In other words, when people serve, empowered by the Spirit, touching those things that God wants them to, the oil, the anointing things, when they're doing those things that God's called them to do and they're anointed, it smells sweet. Now, how many times have you seen somebody serve and they're stinking up the place? You know what I mean? You know, they're serving, but, you know, I'm serving. And been serving for a long time. I don't know why anybody else doesn't serve, but I'm doing it. Phew. Wow. Pewee. You know, they stink up the place with their serving. And so often you see this happen. The telltale sign is, what's it smell like when you're serving God? Is it sweet or is it stink? Because the anointing of the Spirit, you see, is sweet. It's a sweet smell. The fruit of the Spirit, Paul says in Galatians 5:22, is love, joy, peace, gentleness, and goodness, and faith, and meekness, and self-control. Is that what's happening? Or is there discord and arrogance and pride and who's getting the glory and all that? Because I'll tell you, folks, it's got to be sweet if the Spirit's moving in it. And if it's not sweet, it ain't him. And that's how you know. That's all there is to it. So when you go, boy, that's sweet, you know. When you go, don't know about that. It's kind of a foul odor. Don't know if that's really the real deal. If it's not sweet, you see, it's not him. I'm praying that our fellowship here is sweet, filled with the aroma of the Spirit, and that everything that you and me, everything we touch, everything we lay our hands upon, will be simply those things the Lord has asked you to, because everything then that you touch will have the anointing. And it'll happen. It'll work. It'll be sweet and it'll be wonderful. And that's my prayer. That's my prayer for us. That everything we do, everything we touch is anointed. And you can tell because it's sweet. Just pure sweetness. Jesus Christ is sweeter than anyone, than anything. And if it's him working, that's what we experience. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you that that is true. And so often, Father, we are working hard, perhaps, or trying desperately to make ministry happen, whether we're sharing with neighbors or whether we're moving somebody across town, practically helping them out, or whatever it is, whatever we are doing, Lord, sometimes we're working hard and we wonder sometimes, Father, why isn't that happening? Or why didn't that person hear me? Or why didn't that situation work out? And I just pray, Father, that we would, in the Word, hear truth and worship you in the Spirit and touch only those things that you call us to, because that's where the anointing is. And you know when that person's going to get saved. And you know when that person's going to come to church. And you know when that situation is going to be different. And you know all these things. We're not, Lord, in tune with those things because we're not you. But we can listen to what you want us to do. And very simply, in obedience, if we will do those things, man, there's oil, there's anointing for them. Help us to see it, Lord. Help us to get it. Pray for this church. You would cover it with oil. Cover us, Lord, with the anointing. We know we have the Spirit within us. We know that that anointing's there already. We can hear the Word and understand it. We know that. And Father, I pray that as we know that's true, that we will just begin now to listen to whatever it is you want us to be a part of and touch those things. And touch those things only, that we might move in the anointing of your Spirit. We pray that, Lord. We ask it today in Jesus' name. Amen.